Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
How are you guys? You good? All right, let me just set up my notes. You guys say hi to each other really quick. Introduce yourselves around your tables if you don't know each other. How do you do that? Hi, my name is? Beautiful. Wow, look at that table over there. She has decorated that to the T. Beautiful. Good job. All right, did you guys meet someone? Did everybody meet someone? Awesome. This is our Women Rock Snack and Chat, and it's not our last one. Okay, that's good. But we are getting close to wrapping up the end of the year because we've got Girls Night Out coming. Woo, what was that, girls? Where's my girls at? Girls Night Out. This year I'm bringing in a speaker for you guys. You're sick of hearing from me. We got to bring someone else in. And so her name is Diane Wilson, and she is just so beautiful in heart and in what she speaks. Mom has known her for many years, and so I'm really excited to get to hear a word from God from Diane. And then we have Expo. We have, I mean, the girls are putting on a Christmas event for you guys, let me tell you. And so you're going to want to get your tickets as soon as possible. I can't believe how fast they're going, and we have two different times that we're doing it. And so anyways, grab your tickets. They're cheap right now. Do it now. So I just wanted to remind you about that. All right, are we done talking? Because we're going to get into the word, and then I promise I'll let you talk, okay? Because I know you just have to get your words out before you go home. Because the husband's like, Why is she still talking? All right. We have so much planned, so I'm going to get through this today so that we can do our baking challenge, and so we can do our time at the table, because I've heard your cries, ladies. Where's my La Roca girls? Woo! Hi, love you guys. And we're going to give you guys enough time to get together and to talk it through, okay? And so we're going to do that. But how do you follow Pastor Deborah from last week? You know, no pressure. I feel like after she spoke, it's like, dun-dun-dun. You know, like, apostles and prophets. And so I've been asking the Lord, what is it you want us to learn? And this is what his response was to me. You ready? But you have to be quiet because I'm not going to talk over you. Awesome. I feel like every time that happens, if you hear me clap once, if you hear me clap, you know how they do that with the kids. Okay. So he said this to me. He said, how many times do you hear, what has anyone done for me? Do we live in a society? I've had many conversations with people, and they're like, what has that person done for me? You know, it's all about me and what benefits me, and how does this go on in my life, and what's in it for me? And I felt like God wanted me to reverse the question and say, don't you know everything that is been done just for you by him? And so God has taught us through Ephesians everything. I mean, from the descending to ascending and what he did on the cross. That was amazing, Pastor Deborah. Thank you for that. That is a little piece of Christology in our Bible college, but I'm telling you, I love Women Rock AM because we go a little deeper than what we can do on a Sunday morning. So if you want more God, you need to get into more than one service a week. You need to get into at least 2 to 3 services a week. You know what? You turn the TV on more than you do read your Bible or you get into church. And so it should be reversed. And so if you're not, I want to challenge you this next like couple of weeks to just reverse and give God more time than what you give God normally, okay? Because God says that not only did I do all of that for you myself, but I knew that you would be living in this time, in this age, and I'm not going to leave you without some tools. I'm not going to leave you without some direction. I'm not going to leave you without authority structure, and I'm not going to leave you without people that will help encourage you through the way. And so he gave us a 5-fold ministry of ministers. He gave us apostles and prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. you go, oh, well, that's great for them. But we're going to learn what their roles are, why it's important for us as believers, why God set them in place, what God needs from us for them, and what they are doing for us in the body of Christ. Okay? How many of you are saved and on your way to heaven today? Awesome. I want to know this. How many of you know what an apostle is? Right? Okay, I know. It's a good question. Like, sometimes you're like, I really don't know the difference. How many of you know what a prophet is? Okay, so we know a little bit more about the prophets than we do the apostles. But the apostles are first, and then the prophets. That's the way God ordained it. And we're going to learn about that in Scripture today. So let's go before the Lord, and that's what we're learning about. But let's pray and ask him to teach us today, okay? Dear Father God, we come before you, Lord, and we ask that you would be our teacher today, God. Lord, show us some new revelations. Teach us some new places that we're going, God. Show us what it is that you've written in the Bible and the order you've set up. And so, Lord, that we can have a better understanding so we can know who we are in Christ and who's on our team, God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, first of all, we can't know who these people are in our lives until we understand who we are. Say, I am the church of the living God. That's who you are. You are the church. We are gathered together. The definition of church isn't just a building that we meet in. And you've heard that before, right? I've heard people say, well, I'm the walking church. Absolutely. But then when we come together as a whole body of Christians, that is what the church is. Who gather together, who worship together, and who teach. A church is also a spiritual house, a chosen race. Ooh, I like that. Our new identity, our new creation, we have now become in his image and his workmanship like we've learned in Ephesians. And we are God's people. That's who the church is. God approves of the church. Did you know that? Many times you're going to hear people put the church down. And as a pastor, it's one of the most irritating things to me. When I read things online, on Facebook, or when I hear someone complain, my favorite is Yelp. Like, we are rating churches. I think that's a scary thing. Because God says, don't judge God's anointed. And when we go and we comment about what we like or don't like about a church, that is not your place, nor is it your opinion that matters in that. And it's a shame that the Christian body of Christ does not understand that. You see, you need to know your role and you need to understand his role. He's the one that oversees the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Everyone else is following him. We are followers of Jesus Christ. You and me and anyone else that walks through these doors or preaches in any pulpits, we are all followers of Jesus Christ. We come under the submission of what he says. It is also an organization. Did you know that? A church actually is an organization. He ordained it to carry out his mission to the world. Jesus himself has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I love that. In Matthew 16, if you want to go there, it says, he's saying to Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is what our church actually was birthed in. Mom and Dad used to have that on the back walls in the old building. I've been trying to do it in the new building, but we're about to repaint the sanctuary, so I can't yet. But when we do, we're going to put that verse up, and upon this rock the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, we are going to declare where we started. God built his church. It's God's plan. I believe in the local church. I believe that we have a place in our community. I believe we as a body of Christ are connected. And let me tell you something. I believe people are called to a church. I believe when you church hop, you are not plugged in. You are not under a covering. You are out from under a covering. You can become very opinionated. You can be very unhealthy because you're getting very different doctrines and ideas, and maybe you're not landing. I believe God has called us to be a part of a family, and God has given us different flavors of families. Have you noticed that? There's so many good churches around here, and every one of them has a different flavor. And if we can learn to embrace each other's differences as the church and as the body of Christ, I believe we're better together than we are apart. So let's not divide, but let's unite as the church of the living God. That means if you're a part of this church, you have some responsibilities as the church. You're to be a tither. That's what God talks to us about. He says, when you are Christian, you are to tithe 10%. 10% of all your money is not yours. You're going, here she goes talking about money. I'm telling you what God has set up. And he's asked us to take care of the church. One time I had someone ask, does the government take care of the church? No. And this was like a doctor. I'm thinking, you don't know nothing. No. We all support the church. We all take care of the church. And then when we give into the house of God, guess what happens? He takes care of our house. And God takes care of our bills. And God takes care of our need. And God takes care of all of that. See, it's all working together in a family unit. I would be the one that would clean the dishes, do the laundry and everything. But guess what? I got three children now. And I'm like, if you live in this house, there are some responsibilities you have to do. And even when their friends come over or cousins come over, guess what? They have to do the dishes with my kids and they have to help with the laundry. You know why? Because it's how it functions. We're a family and we all do it together. And so we are a church. We all do this together. FDC out here, that when you drove up and all that food was being passed out, it doesn't just happen. That doesn't just happen. There's volunteers. There's people that come and make that happen. That's the church in movement. That's the church in working. That's who the church is, okay? And so, girls, how many of you came and set up this morning and we're preparing for today? Raise your hand. That you are the church. You allowed this to happen. You prepared this for the girls that were coming. And you came and you served and gave of yourself. We are to volunteer. We are to tithe. We are to be part of a family. We are to be ingrained in and part of. If I step outside of my family, I say, I want nothing to do with them. Am I really a part of the movement of that family? No. Am I a part of the blessings of that family? No. But when I'm in the house, when I'm plugged in, when I'm planted in the house, then guess what happens? I flourish. That's what the Word of God says about the church. The church is not an invention of fallen human beings. Jesus Christ himself is the founder of the church. So even though we see flaws in the church, because that does happen throughout history and even nowadays, sometimes churches turn so far away from the gospel that they are no longer the church of God. I've seen that many times. I remember when Mom and them went to Rwanda, and she said she was preaching. It was right after... They were had all been slaughtered. And she's like, it was so different because they were using the gospel and a lot of spiritual demonic things, and they were calling it God. You see, people can, it will, the enemy knows how to mask himself to look a lot like Jesus Christ. He's been around a long time, and he knows the lingo. He even knows the scripture, girls. He probably knows it better than you do. And so be sure, remember, when Satan went to go tempt Jesus, what did he do? And God responded to him with the word. Satan is not stupid, but we're smart and we're powerful through Jesus Christ. And together as the church of God, in unity, we can stand against the wiles of the devil. That's why you guys need each other. Look around and say, I need you, girlfriend. I need you. Okay? We must not conclude that the church is useless or unnecessary. So here's God. He descended, he ascended. We learned all of everything that he did in between. For what? For the church. For you and I. For us to gather. For us to worship. For us to be able to get into our word and get teaching. And for us to be able to do this. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's killing God's people. He has a God encounter. God blinds him. He has all this repentance happening on. He goes forward with God, and he becomes one of the most amazing apostles of the gospels that we know of, right? Also, the disciples were apostles as well. But here's Paul the apostle. But Paul had to start the church. How does that start? Well, see, God gave apostles first. We're going to go there. So we're going to talk about this. Because in Ephesians, it says in 4:11, it says, and he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. I love how God says, I did all that for you, but I'm not going to leave you on the hook. I'm going to set you up in a family. I'm going to give you a position. I'm going to make sure that you have all that you need to function here on earth until I come back for you. That's pretty awesome, right? He understood. He had the whole plan already written out for us. Sometimes we just don't realize we're already in the plan. We're already working through it. And so here's God, and he says, I'm sending all of these fivefold ministry people to come and to edify and equip you. What does equip mean? It means to mend you, to help prepare you, to enable you to function. It's not for us to do it for you, but it's for us to equip you to do it. Equipping is making ready for training and making you fully qualified. It means every time you get into the house of God, That means you're building up your spirit man. You're teaching yourself. You're coming, you're getting a word from whoever is ministering. You will learn about the pastors and the teachers. But at first it had to start with the apostles, because before we could get all the way down to pastors and teachers, we had to have someone say, we need a church. We need salvation. We've got all these people that are coming to Jesus, and what do we do with them all? And Paul said, this is what we're going to do. And he began to establish churches. And then he would put leaders over the churches. And in the churches, there were different functions. And Jesus did all of this. And Paul was a follower of Jesus Christ and heard the call and did what he needed to do, along with Timothy and John and Mark and Luke. All of them, they're all amazing men of God being used. Listen, today, God wants to use you. You say, well, I might not be an apostle. I might not be a prophet. But let me tell you something. You are in the body of Christ, and you are the church. And maybe you are identifying with some of this. I was reading this, and my spirit man was going off as I was learning about the apostolic ministry, because I'm not exactly in that gifting, and it kind of freed me. I was like, oh, this is okay. All right, I get it now. But I was thinking about someone in my family who I'm like, oh, this is what they're supposed to do. And it just freed me. I had a deeper understanding of what God puts gifts on us for and what we're used in different capacities for. And it's awesome to see God's working hand in our lives individually, but also the people who are going to lead us. And so you need to be praying for the people that lead you so that they get a word from God. So we're going to go into this. In 1 Corinthians 12:28. It mirrors the Ephesian scripture, but it goes into it a little deeper. And it says, as God has appointed these in the church, apostles, prophets, third teachers, and the miracles, then gifts, then healing, then helps, administration of varieties of tongues. So hold on a second. Before we get the gifts and the tongues and all the other gifts, God establishes his authority in the church. You see, authority is a big deal to God. God doesn't just set a home up and just leave kids to themselves, right? They need a parent. Many times when I was raising my children and they tried to push back at me, I was like, oh no, let's reestablish our boundaries. I'm the parent and you're the child. I can't tell you how many times I've said that to my children. I don't have to say it to them anymore, because all I have to do is look at them a certain way and they know, oh, like, I'm not even going to test her right now. It's not a good time. So I believe that God understood that. And he needed to set us up. He needed us to understand that there is a structure in the church, and that God sends people in the church to establish the church, to set it up, so that we, as the members of the church and as the body of Christ, have everything at our disposal so we can go out and be full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pretty cool, right? Here we go. Let's break this down. The five different offices over the next few weeks, we will go through them. Today, we're going to hit apostles and prophets, all right? And the purpose of what they do in the body of Christ and what they do. An apostle is a special messenger sent forth with a message. I was reading, and they were saying just some of the three characteristics that apostle could have is that they could have an encounter with Jesus Christ. If you think about Paul, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. The disciples got to hang out with Jesus, right? That's pretty awesome. So they've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. One who plants churches. So they plant churches, they go around, they see a need, they have a burden for the unsaved, they want them to have a place to come and worship, because they understand the importance of church. Because it's God's idea, remember, it's God's will and it's God's way. And so they have that burden. And then they are ones who function in ministry with signs, miracles, and wonders. When an apostle comes through, they don't have an issue with signs, miracles, and wonders. They're not going to back down from what God has asked them to do, because the reality is they are on a mission and they've got to get that assignment done. Okay? So that's what the apostle, I hope that helps just kind of define it just a little bit. Examples of apostles are the disciples. They hung out with Jesus. They did signs, miracles, and wonders. Think about the fish and the loaves, all the different signs that they saw Jesus raise people from the dead. I mean, they were a part of this. And then they themselves casted demons out. They themselves prayed for people. And they functioned in the signs and miracles and wonders. Also, Paul and John and everybody else in the Bible that we read about, these are awesome men and women of God, modern day apostles. I read this whole thing about they left with the old, you know, the old prophets and the apostles are gone and we're just here. And I'm like, oh no, God is still moving. God's word says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is still moving today in the apostolic ministry. Many times people don't even know that they're apostles. Maybe they do, but they're not going to toot their own horn, which I actually personally love. When they're like, I'm apostle so-and-so, I'm like, all right. You know, like, it's different. It's weird. But that might just be the culture that we live in now. But the reality is they are functioning and they are moving. One that just off the top of my head is Brian Houston over Hillsong Church. You know, here he was a pastor. Now he has planted churches all over the world. And they have now just become their own denomination. He is an apostle. He's planted, but he also was a pastor. So the thing about being an apostle is you can also carry other giftings and anointings. Some apostles also can prophesy. So sometimes it's not just one thing that a person does, but God has given them other giftings. Sometimes it is just one gifting. And so don't judge one man versus another man. Don't think one man is greater than another man. As long as that person is stepping out and doing what it is that's gifted on them and that God has called them to do, we as the church need to celebrate them. We need to encourage them. We need to lift them up. And when they're speaking truth, we need to listen to what they're saying. And so this is just modern day stuff. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he himself gave to be apostles and some prophets. So let's talk about prophets. We're going to just whiz through this because I know you guys want to eat. Okay? We're going to talk about prophets and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm going to keep reading these because I want you to get it. 1 Corinthians 2:28. And God has appointed these in the... You're not listening. I am. God has appointed these in the church. Who's the church? You. First apostles, second prophets. Why would he want to set up someone who's going to go plant churches and then and not put a pastor in right away? Not put someone, a prophet. You know why? Because they need to know what's going to happen next. And the prophet, let's see the definition of a prophet. It's a fourth teller, not a fortune teller, okay? It's a fourth teller, somebody who can tell what's going to happen. One that speaks a divine message that sometimes is foretelling of future events. Prophets are especially endowed with insights and counsels from the Lord, and they serve as his spokesmen. Prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which the New Testament encourages all of us believers to exercise. But it is different and on a different level than those that are in the prophetic office, okay? So you can give someone a beautiful word like God says he loves you. That is. But there are people that are specific prophets. We had many prophets come through here, but there was one, I forgot his name, and he used to give us the word all the time. Dick Mills. He would give us a scripture, and then he would speak the word. And it was like, whoa. And I'm not kidding. Every time this guy spoke, it happened. And you're like, I remember being a little kid and going, I don't want him to see me. Because, like, what if he tells on me, like, what I'm doing? You know, like, have you ever been in the presence of a prophet? And you're like, they know. They know what I just did last night. If you know they're a prophet, you're, like, hiding from them in the grocery store, right? You're like, I'm good. It's probably a very lonely place to minister. But actually, it also is something that happens. You've seen Pastor Jim do it from the pulpit. You'll see Pastor Dan do it every once in a while. I believe that gift jumps on him. He speaks what he needs to speak. And then it's for us to move forward and for us what direction we're going in, right? Today, right before we ended, I gave you a prophecy about your prayers will be answered. That was a word from God. That was an encouraging word. Sometimes there was There was someone just recently, and I wasn't going to tell a story, but Dan told me to. So I had a word from God for them, and it was one of those words that you're like, no way am I saying this out loud, because if you don't come through, God, like, I'm going to look like a fool. And the Lord just kept bugging me for a week. You better do it. Are you going to be disobedient? And when I'm asking you to do it, I'm like, so I called them into my office and I said, listen, I have a word for you. I want you to know that this is what's going to happen. They were having a child, and God told me to tell them the sex of their child and what to name their child, which that is so specific that I was like, oh, come on. Like, totally embarrassing, right? So they did, and then they did their gender reveal party. And I was like, nervous. I'm like, I'm not going. Like, I'm not going to the reveal party because, like, just in case. But the man, the husband, leaned over to me right before on a Sunday, and he said, I've been looking at names for boys under the name you told us, but I'm trying to find other versions of it. And I'm like, and the Holy Spirit said, say to him what I tell you to say. I leaned over to him. I said, you don't even need to look for boy name. And he was like, wow, okay. And I was like, I know. They did their gender reveal party. They're having a girl. And they have a beautiful name, and they're putting in their name what God asked them to put in their name. And I believe God is speaking over this child. I believe God has a call for this child. I believe God brought this child in at the right time when they needed it. And so, you see, there are things that happen like that. Now, there are times that I have said things, and I'm like, really, God, that did not happen, and now I feel like a fool. But you know what? That's not my place. I speak what God asked me to speak, and then this is what you do with a prophecy, because you cannot make this happen for yourself, all right? But let's just talk about it for a second. There's a man by Eugene Peterson. I thought he had a really great definition of what a prophecy entails. Is there a need for prophetic preaching in our generation? Yes, absolutely. A prophet lets us know who God is and what he is like, what he says and what he is doing. A prophet wakes us up from our sleepy complacency so that we see the great and stunning drama that is our experience. And then he pushes us into a stage playing our parts, whether we think we are ready or not. A prophet angers us by rejecting and ripping off our disguises, and then dragging our heartless attitudes and selfish motives out into the open where everyone sees them for what they are. A prophet makes everything and everyone seem significant and important. Important because they are significant to God. A prophet makes it difficult to continue with a sloppy and selfish life. Woo! Have you ever gotten a word from someone and you're like, all right, I need to clean it up. I need to get myself like back on the straight and straight, right? That's what they do. You know, here's Joel. There's many prophets that spoke in the Old Testament, and we saw it fulfilled in the New Testament. Joel prophesied that there would be an outpouring. If you came to a Women Rock conference, they preached about it the whole entire first opening message, that there'll be an outpouring. So here these disciples are in the upper room after Jesus had passed, and the outpouring, they spoke with tongues, God, the Holy Spirit poured out upon them. That was prophesied back in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament. How about Isaiah? He prophesied in the Old Testament about Jesus's birth, in the New Testament, also about Jesus's suffering. You see, there's so many more. I mean, there's prophecies that have been fulfilled. God is doing, he is working, and he is using a prophet to speak a word of life into the body of Christ. He cares enough about us to give us some glimpses of things he's doing. So don't deny the prophet. Don't say, oh, that's just fake, and I don't know. You know, I don't know about all that. But listen, just speak, and this is what we do. In 1 Corinthians, it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. If it's a comforting word, you know God's in it. Prophecies can be spoken to encourage us to endure the demanding battle as we carry out the Lord's will. And weigh these words very carefully. When you get a prophet that speaks a word over you, weigh the words carefully. The Bible talks about testing it. In 1 John 4:1, it says, beloved, do not let every spirit, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. How can you gauge when the prophecy is spoken over you? Number one, you guys ready? Does it line up with the word of God? It's a good one. God will never contradict himself. He doesn't go against himself. He's not a man that should lie. He will not do that. So if you get a word, can you find that promise for yourself in the word of God? Number two, does it witness to your spirit man? Is it maybe it's already been something you've been talking to God about and they read your mail? Maybe it's a moment of clarity and it brings peace to your heart and you're like, oh, okay, God. Maybe it's that. And number three, give it time. Don't make it happen. Don't go out and make it happen for yourself. Wait on God to fulfill it. It may be the future near and it may be the future far, but whatever it is, God's in control. And you just hold on to that word and you wait for God. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast to them and hold fast to what is good. So that was it, guys. I have a very simple, quick message because I heard your cry and you want to talk, okay? And so we learned today about apostles and we learned today about prophets. And you're going, dang, that was short. But let me tell you something. I lost all my notes that I studied for 3 hours on Saturday. So that's why it's short today. But did you learn something simple today about apostles and prophets? Okay, good. Now, I'm sure the theologians in here can go way deeper. I'm sure Mom is like, oh, we could talk about this. So, Mom, you are good. And you have anything you want to add about apostles and prophets? Because we have a little time. I have tons of time. I'm supposed to be done at 10:45. So, do you have anything, Pastor Sue? Do you have anything that you'd want to add? No? She said, no way, I'm good. All right. Well, then what I'm going to do... Okay, Mom, I knew she did.
I know Pastor Sue could say this, but just simply, that was so good, Jess, and so simple, so good. Prophets do two things. Well, the olden prophets prophesied of future events, and prophecy can be fulfilled in stages, like the day of the Lord has four stages. So it will be fulfilled instantly, like with Israel, and then it'll be fulfilled when Jesus first coming, and then it'll be fulfilled at his second coming. So there can be stages of prophecies and fulfillment in the Word of God. Over 365 prophecies of Jesus and Messiah in the Old Testament from the prophets, because it says in Ephesians that the house of God, the church, is built on the apostles and the prophets. So the prophecies of the Old Testament set in motion that which Jesus did, and he fulfilled those prophecies. So that's why this is so important. So prophets foretell the future, and they forth tell, which means a current word for today. Which is what you did today, a current word. And you can prophesy, and actually it doesn't mean it's something in the future, but it's just something really current right now that we all need to hear. And oftentimes that's a message. Yep. And John Bevere, I believe, is a modern-day prophet. Yes. He has come to our church, and they have a message. They have a word to give to the general church. And Baron Gilfillan is having an ISLAM conference in February, the International School of Ministry. And he's bringing prophets in because he believes that there's a current word that needs to be spoken to the church. So it's not just for the ISOM people that, you know, that are in the world with ISOM, but it's also for the Rock. So I don't want you to miss that because I do believe, Jess, that prophecy is current. Like you said, there's ways to judge it because there's false prophets. And in the last days, there'll be doctrines of demons. So we have to be very careful that it lines up with the Word of God. But there is things that are happening right now. I think that we need to have our ears tuned. So it was awesome.
I love having our ears tuned. Oh, you forgot your phone. Thank you. And yes, thank you for bringing up the missions conference because I do think God is teaching us at the Rock the establishment of what he's doing as the women. Go home and teach your kids. I sat down with my kids last night and I went over my message and they were like, oh. And so Titus had cute little questions, and he was like, okay, Mom, that helps me understand. And so take your notes. Go home and teach your grandbabies. Go home and teach someone else. Tell them how God made them the church and set them up and how much he loves them. Girls, go re-preach the message to your family, okay? Because when you do, we're establishing a awe and a reverence again for the house of God, again, for God's authority, again, for who God is, because it's been so taken out of the hearts of the younger generation. My brother is going up to Bend, Oregon, and if you didn't know that, he did announce it, but he's going up to Bend, Oregon, and he's going to start a church up there. I was talking to him yesterday, and he's like, all the churches are filled with gray hair, not one young person in church. And I was like, that's horrible. And you can laugh about it, but that means the church is dying up there. And that scares me. And he said, am I okay with this? And he said, is God okay with this? And I thought, no way, man. Like, God's not okay with this. So he's on a mission right now. That's going to be some hard ground to plant, to plow. That's going to be some really tough ground to pull up. But I believe God is sending in someone to tell that next generation, listen, I know you have weird false ideas and you have these different thinking, but let me give you the other side to it. And so, you see, God is moving. God is bringing people to places that even in our own country have pushed God out. But God is going to anoint, and he's going to bless his people, and he's going to bring apostles into these areas. He's going to bring prophets. He's going to bring pastors and teachers, and evangelists will come through and build us up as the body of Christ, which we will learn about next week. Dr. V, are you on? Dr. V is on. So it's going to be good. So, all right, I love you girls. Go chat.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.